Welcome to Wellness Notes on Radio St. Pete, hosted by myself, Desiree Valario. 40 minutes dedicated to whole person health affecting the physical, mental, social, and financial well-being of our community.
Welcome to today's show, Wellness Notes. Our topic today is financial wellness, and our guest is Shane Robson-Smith. Shane is the founder of Workplace Money Coach, a company that provides financial empowerment programs and coaching for employees. The Workplace Money Coach Living Paycheck to Purpose program is he created and is facilitated by financial coaches across the country. Over the last 7 years, Shane and his team of coaches have engaged thousands of employees with the mission of helping them align their paychecks with their life goals and values. When Shane is not speaking or coaching, he enjoys traveling with his wife and three kids, running triathlons, making wine, and perfecting his gourmet tacos. Welcome and thank you for joining us, Shane.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I love wine and tacos. That's awesome.
Right.
Oh, so what can you share with us about why good money management is so integral to living a happy and purposeful life?
I think for starters, I just want to make the point that I like that you asked why money management and not so much having money, because I don't think the two are the same thing. But I think having control over your money and just having good money management practices, living within your means, you know, not having a tremendous amount of debt burdening you, I think at the very core, and I think one of the most important things that money can do for us in our lives is to provide that safety and security that I think we really need. You know, this is in the form of just having a safe place to live, all right? Having housing in an area where you feel safe and secure, where you feel like your family's safe and secure. Food security, you know, having enough money to make sure that you put food on the table, I think is tremendously important. Having access or the ability to pay for medical needs, these kind of things, I think at the very bottom, if we can achieve just that, then we are sort of next level as far as just our ability to be happy in our lives, if you will. I think the next thing though really is the amount of stress, you know, that financial stress alone brings into our lives that permeates every decision we make, really affects our relationships, really affects us at work. I think good money management and having that stuff sort of under control and not have that burden on our shoulders constantly is a game changer. And one of the interesting things about doing this interview now is my wife and I have really achieved a fair amount of financial success. We've done the basics, the things that I teach and educate people on every single day of just living within our means and, you know, putting money aside for savings. And we're finding ourselves in our lives right now, no joke, we've replaced or repaired all of our major appliances but one in the last couple of months. We've had a car in for routine maintenance and car repairs to the tunes of thousands of dollars. And we're dealing with a really, really tough financial situation with a contractor that we hired to do some work on our house. And I'm being thrust back in this environment where I'm extremely stressed over a financial situation, wondering how we're going to pay all these bills and reminding me of the way we used to live for years, but also how I think so many individuals out there live every single day. And it's really, really tough. My entire day is consumed by the situations that we find ourselves in, and it's just not good. And I think having that control and having good money management skills to sort of protect and kind of keep yourself away from that situation as long as you can. And this is a good example where no matter what you do, sometimes you're going to get hit pretty hard and have to kind of get back out of that, dig yourself out of a hole. And then finally, really, as far as good money management is just the idea that I hope that people really live their lives intentionally and day-to-day work towards, you know, doing the things, finding adventure that they seek, whatever it is that that means to them, spending time, you know, with people that they love, doing things that they love. And I really feel like that financial burden, if you can just lift yourself off, is going to give you the best opportunity and kind of get yourself over the hurdles that keep so many of us from being able to live like that or to work to living a life that they really want.
Well, I'm really glad that you hit on the wellness aspect of it, because a lot of people probably when they heard we're going to talk about financial wellness. Like, well, you know, what does that really have to do with wellness? But it has a lot to do with wellness. Like you said, if you are not financially well, you are going to be stressed out, and stress is a killer. It's just not good for your health. And I always think of the saying, you know, I want to work to live, not live to work.
I'm in the same boat as you are. Absolutely feel that way. And I think that finances have an amazing amount to do with our wellness. I think it's integral in every other aspect of our wellness. I've never thought that our finances was the most important thing. I think it's really about life balance, but I do believe it touches every aspect of it. And so we are proud to be what we call a wellness company. We're not a financial company. I think we're a wellness company, and we tackle the financial side of that as part of that full like experience that we need, that full balance that we need in our lives. So absolutely agree.
That's another thing that really drew me to Workplace Money Coach is you're all about helping people, and you're not associated with a financial product. Like, you're not trying to sell them, mutual funds or whatever it may be. Because there are a lot of banks that are in the financial wellness space, and they are educating people, but I feel they're in it for other reasons as well. And I really like that you're offering education and coaching without looking to sell somebody something else.
You're absolutely right. I think at the core of what I'm doing, but I think with so many people in the wellness space, though, regardless of what their field is I went through an amazing transformation in our lives. I would say my wife and I, as a result of taking control of our money and getting sort of ahead of the game, if you will, truly life-changing. I mean, really going from how am I going to pay my bills to I can achieve almost anything, and we can start doing some of this amazing travel, and we can live this life that we've always wanted to, and know that we have a healthy roof over the head for our kids, and we can put food on the table and all these things. You know, it was just a really, really important aspect. That's what I want to share with people. That's really what it is. It's not about having a ton of money at all, or, you know, investing, or it's really about what is it that you want to achieve and how can I help you to attain that. That's what makes me passionate about teaching money management and even coaching individuals as well.
I really appreciate your approach with just focusing on your goals and how you're going to get there. And I think it's simple, but not always easy. So what are common financial hurdles that many individuals and families that you talk to face?
I would say one of the ones that I see a lot with, because I work only in the workplace and coach employees, with some of the clients that I have, is really lower wages, believe it or not. I mean, and this is not to be political by any means, but it's just a fact that if you're making $11, $12, $13 an hour, and you're a single parent or even married and somebody's making that kind of money and trying to raise two or three kids, it is extremely difficult. So I think one of the biggest hurdles is working with individuals that are doing everything right. I mean, they're trying their best to live within their means. They're trying to set savings aside. But when you've got to pay rent, you've got to put food on the table, you've got to clothe, you know what I mean? You've got to get insurances and put gas in the car. It makes it virtually impossible to really ever get to that next step. And so I think that's one of the big things. And I think the burden is both on maybe employers to really look at that situation and how they can help employees with higher wages. But also it's got to be on the employee as well, right? And people really need to consider what kind of job skills they need to get, education or path they need to take in their careers, so where they can get to the point where they're making more money, just what I consider more of a minimum wage, if you will. So big, big hurdle. And a little bit of a surprise to me, you know, just the reality of how many people are busting their butt, living intentionally, trying everything, but just don't make enough money to really get to that next level. I think another thing too that's really, really like now is a big focus is just access to affordable housing. You know, I mean, right now we're seeing this event that really took me a while to grasp of just housing prices starting to skyrocket again. And my understanding of this perfect storm of just low interest rates and people having a little extra cash on hand and millennials being at this prime time for buying homes that have really pushed housing up. And it's okay in a way, but it really is hurting people that are trying to get into that sort of first time home buyers. And also what I fear, especially as a financial coach who's seen this for years, is people jumping on board, going after these higher priced homes, and then a few months later finding out that there's a lot that goes with maintaining an expensive home, right, with the bills and everything that goes with it too. So we'll see if this has a kind of a rough effect on our economy and on people as the years go by. After that, I'd say consumer debt, right? I mean, consumer debt is just big. I mean, they're racking up the credit cards, the large car payments, these kind of things too, that once we do it, if we can't pay them off or get on top of this quickly, really just take away from our ability to save more money. You know, the interest paid on it really kind of cuts our paycheck in a big chunk as far as our ability to go out there and thrive in our financial life. And with consumer debt, I think student loan debt is another one that's a big concern as well. I mean, coming out of school and just trying to get your life started and get going and really being burdened by tens of thousands of student loan debt, that really makes it difficult as well to kind of get going too. So I'd say those are the biggest hurdles that I see in the work that I do coaching individuals in the workplace.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to at one point or another in my life to each of those things. I'm going to throw a little curveball at you. You mentioned employers and what they can do. Can you give an example of what perhaps either you've seen or what you know that as an employer, what they can do to help?
So I have a client that actually just raised everybody's pay by $5 an hour, which I just never seen it. I couldn't believe it. You know, I mean, that was one thing that floored me, you know, especially the one thing that I agree with is, and we'll be interested to see how this minimum wage thing over the next 4 or 5 years truly affects our economy, because people weigh in on both sides of whether it'll be good or bad, and time will tell. But for this company that I knew was doing extremely well in an industry that was really booming, to turn around and just take everybody's pay, their starting pay up $5, which is no small amount of money, and then everybody's pay that was at any level and raise it, I thought was just incredible. And I have the ability to coach these employees who this happened, I think, 4 or 5 months ago, and now start to see the impact that having this extra money in their paycheck has. And I just think it's phenomenal. So that would be one thing. I think just a look at the benefits. One thing that I do feel like is on the burden on the employees, I also work with a lot of clients and know of a ton of companies that have amazing benefits that a lot of people just don't take advantage of. They don't pay attention to them. They don't know that they have it. And so they're sort of wasting some of the money and some of the things that the company's trying to do to really help them out by just sort of ignoring them, you know, or being ignorant to them.
Sure. And I know when you're enrolling in your benefits, it's like an annual thing and it's so overwhelming. I mean, I can understand how people might just not want to deal with it, right? They just, okay, I need my health insurance and I'm not going to worry about all these other things. But it is quite valuable that you work with the employer to help their staff understand the value that they're being offered so that they can take advantage of that. The thing that pops into my head, which I think is pretty prevalent, is the like a 401k matching kind of thing where the employer will pay a certain amount based on what the employee contributes to their retirement savings.
Sure. Well, I think that there's certain people that just have a roadblock around finances. You know what I mean? So the second something comes up around some kind of benefit or the 401k, it's almost like they just perceive it as being above their head or too confusing. They don't want to deal with it, or they're having their struggles with money, so they don't want to hear anything about money. They'd rather just push money out of their life, which of course just causes more problems. But this, it is quite confusing. I mean, when you get into some of the benefits and understanding the HSA versus the FSA versus the 401k, you know, I mean, all these different things that are these employee benefits, the long-term and short-term disability, it does get overwhelming. You know, so one of the things that I do and enjoy is when companies bring me in and basically say, Shane, we have this new benefit rollout, or we have these benefits that we've had for years. Do you mind incorporating them in, because you have a way of sort of talking about it that's in more layman terms that people understand versus the paperwork and the literature that the company's handing out that really is difficult to grasp. So yeah, I think a lot of it's just clarification and really getting people to understand what the benefits are, or just any money management topic that we're talking about, in a way that they can grasp it, right? In a way that it makes sense to them and they can see where the benefit will be in their life.
So that's a great segue into what would you say are the keys to overcoming the financial hurdles so that someone can thrive in their financial life?
So I would say that my favorite part of the work and one of the things that we really express in the work that we do both in our program and the coaching is this idea of exploring the relationship you have with money from the past, present, and to the future. Okay. And what I mean by this is most of us deal with money because of something that we experienced early on in our life, good or bad. And that experience or experiences over a period of time really have ingrained either a financial philosophy or financial habits and way of thinking around money. And we typically hold on to these ideas throughout the course of our lives. For some of those, they're good philosophies and good habits, and we thrive, and money management's a piece of cake. Saving is pretty simple. Understanding investing is good. The idea of putting money aside for future growth is a no-brainer. But on the other hand, if you develop these habits that aren't, that maybe made sense, at the time, but go unexplored, then you continue to make the same mistakes or have the same ideas that leave you really in the same place that you were, right? So that's the past. I think that we really need to look at how these formed. So one activity we do that I love is just trying to think of an old money memory or original money memory. It's easier than you think to do. And then explore it. You know, what happened? What lesson did I take from that? You know, is this lesson burdening me or helping me in my life now? And if it's hurting me, what can I do to kind of change how I think about that situation so that I can move forward? And so I think a lot of it, no matter how much education you have, no matter how many tools and resources that are out there, if you have those philosophies that you're holding on to or a way of thinking around money or a bad habit, you're never going to achieve that next goal until you break those apart and kind of rethink, right, these philosophies. The present is really not being in denial about your financial situation. We need to get our financial situation out, right? How much debt do I have? What is my situation? What do I owe in student loans? What does my savings look like, right? What's my credit score? What's my credit report look like? Get it all on the table. We need to know where our money is going. Okay, paycheck comes in, paycheck goes out, there's nothing left. We need to really get in tune with what our financial situation is right now. All right, and then the future is all about what are my values? Like, what do I want to achieve in life? You know, do I want to live out these values? What is this vision of the best life? And what do I really, really want to do? What is my purpose of living, right? It's so much deeper than just having money. And making sure that what we're doing with our present money is working towards, right, this vision that we have. And I think that if you can break out the bad habits, understand where you are, and then paint a clear picture of where you want to go, the moment that you step onto that path and start working towards that, going back to that living intentionally, that your financial wellness improves tremendously, your happiness around money and life improves, your stress comes down. And to me, it's magical. And to make the point again is, it's not when you achieve the best life, it's when you get on the path and start working towards what it is that you want and how your money can help you get there.
Wow. So, you know, I was just thinking, you know, I work with a lot of health coaches and coaches in general. And I suspect there are a lot of people that wonder, well, what does a financial wellness coach do? Well, what you just described, you know, you're helping people talk about money, you know, like a therapist, right? And you're coaching them by allowing them to recognize and see where they were, where they are, where they could be. And that path, it can seem kind of nebulous at times. And so it is so helpful to have someone to talk to about these things, especially someone who is kind of neutral and not, you know, maybe your spouse or your parent or, you know, so yes. Oh, thank you.
Well, no, you hit it on the head. You did. I think that most people think that we're sitting there reading credit reports and budgeting. And some coaches, certainly, it's a skill that we have that we can really help with. But we're really strategizing. We're someone that you can talk to that's a confidential person that's not going to judge you, right? But we are strategizing. We're talking about your life goals and what you really want to achieve. And then creating basically a path or a way that you can get there. And that's what I love about the work I do. I don't really love crunching numbers, to be honest with you. It's really about helping people kind of explore that life vision and then how money management will help them to achieve it.
Very valuable and very unique. So thank you. That was fantastic. So as you know, we ask each of our guests, or before I move on, is there anything else that I didn't ask you that you think you'd like to share with our listeners?
No. I think it was a great discussion. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Sure. So I was about to get into how we ask each of our guests to tell us and share who their favorite local musician, artist, or band is, and you had selected Will Quinlan. And so how did you come to be familiar with Will's music?
So I am a big fan of WMNF, Tampa Community Radio, and have been for a long time. And over the years, they've been great to play his music, and I believe he's done one or two live showcases as well. And it just got to the point where when I heard his name or heard one of his songs playing, I just got extremely excited. It's just the style of music that I love to hear. That was really it.
So Will was so thrilled that you picked him. He wanted to make sure you knew that. And he was disappointed to not be able to join us for the show. But I wanted to share a little bit about him. He is a Texas native, but he is living in the Tampa Bay area, singer-songwriter, and he's been playing his unique blend of folk Americana throughout the Southeast for many years now, generating a deep reserve of respect and admiration, just as you sound to have, Shane, amongst his fans and peers. I originally learned of Will at the Hideaway Cafe in St. Pete, one of our favorite local live music venues. And so Will is currently working on several projects, both solo and with his bands, The Holy Slow Train and The Vesper Bell, with a steady stream of singles, releases that are slated to be coming out soon. And that's actually why he couldn't join us for a recording of the show, is he is recording himself. He's in the studio at this very moment. Shane, before we share the song that you picked, I want to thank you again for being on the show and providing just a fantastic overview of financial wellness and workplace money coach and what you do.
No, thank you, Desiree. This was great. I really appreciate the opportunity. It's a lot of fun.
So we're going to close out the show with the song by Will Quinlan called We Bastard Souls. Thank you, Shane.
Thank you.
From the river, moonlight in our eyes, we stand and deliver your righteous denial. Oh Lord, we know the words on the storm, the winds of December will cut to your bones. All pale shades of blue, give thanks of the living,
Listening to Wellness Notes on Radio St. Pete with me, Desiree Valario, 40 minutes dedicated to whole person health affecting our community.